We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
It appears as though something has happened in the motorcade route.
Lee Oswald has been shot.
Paddock fired out of two adjoining rooms using a device similar to a hammer to smash the windows.
Several flying saucers there of extraterrestrial origin.
Ticket Chris Graves.
Hi, welcome back to Digging with Chris Graves. I'd like to welcome back Mr. Jason Barker of the Knights of the Storm podcast. How you doing, Mr. Barker?
Oh, great, man. Thanks for having me on again. I did not expect to be your guest again. It's an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Today we're going to talk about how do I put this? It was a proposal in the early 1960s for an invasion of Cuba, but with a twist. Basically, Mr. Barker, can you probably?
I'll tell you this.
This is still on the test run, folks. We're going to be checking Twitter also, since this is live, in case you have any questions or comments, concerns, or to tell me to shut up. On to you, Mr. Barker. Sorry about that.
Okay, so the topic today I found kind of intriguing. It's something that I found while I looked into it. I heard this term coined, you know, Operation Northwood, you got Operation Dark Winter, you got Operation X, Y, and Z, right? And as we're listening to these people we're trying to get information from, we tend to trust them, right? But you hear things like Operation Northwood's put out, and I was like, I'm the kind of guy that I'll go do the research, because you know me, Chris. I'm going to be informed, but a lot of people don't. Yeah. So what service you're providing here right now today, which is why I'm happy to be part of this program, is you're going to like iron out, like, when people use that term, what does that mean? What was Operation Northwoods?
That's what you might hear people like Alex Jones or Joe Rogan just mention it in passing, but they don't really analyze it, go in depth with it.
Well, they assume that the average listener has already researched it, but the fact is that we have day jobs. And most people don't. They're just going to take your word for it. And then you become a conspiracy theorist, right? Yeah. But what we're going to show today, and I'm glad this is one of your first episodes that we go into this, because I actually know some stuff about it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. It's actually kind of scary when you think about it. It's scary that this stuff is actually true. It's not a conspiracy theory. It was a conspiracy. It's declassified now.
Based on the JFK Records Review Board in 1998.
Yeah, and it's not saying this is not the end all be all, that this is what our government is. This is more of this is what our government is capable of, or at least I will say, and disclaimer up front, I'm in the military still. I have faith in my government. I have faith in my leaders. This is not the entire government. This is a handful of people that this is what they're willing to do, and we're going to expose it today.
Look out for and prevent in the future. Yeah.
And on the plus note, when we do go through this, on the plus note is that these people did get fired, by the way. So there's still hope. Hope.
Yes.
So anyway, so do you want to give just a quick, it's your show, Chris, but maybe we should give a quick, what in your words was Operation Northwoods, and how is it significant to stuff leading up to today? And then I'll give mine, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're all very interested in your take in this, because you'll be able to do it justice. I came across Operation Northwoods when I was researching the events of September 11, 2001. It came up quite a bit with different researchers. And I always wondered about it. And it was a proposal by the Joint Chiefs of Staff to provoke Cuba into a war in the early 1960s. And basically, it was to fake terrorist attacks and blame them on Cuba as justification for invading Cuba. That's basically all you really need to know on the surface. But
that is the nuts and bolts of it, man. And, you know, I dug a little deeper because I was digging Chris Graves today. And I'll be honest with you. When you asked me to talk about this, I went and, you know, checked all the stuff I read before. I re-downloaded the document from a reputable site. Everything that I downloaded was from reputable sites. They're either a archive site or they're pbs.org or, you know, what was the other one? ushistory.org. This isn't like somebody just making some stuff up.
But we're not just throwing stuff at the wall and see what sticks. Yeah.
But basically what it goes a little deeper. I dug. It's not just about getting Cuba into a war with us. And I understand being a military man, I understand you have to like look for like what my next threat is and you have to war game it a bit. Right.
Right.
And you have to figure out how to get that advantage and that there's some significance to that. We have to do that to stay ahead of like, evil people. My problem is when do we become the evil people? That's my problem. You know,
when we don't look, when we don't analyze when, things like Operation Northwoods and prevent it from in the future.
Well, here's the nuts and bolts. Basically what you said is absolutely correct. We wanted to get into a conflict with Cuba. It goes a little beyond that. It goes before that we had the Bay of Pigs invasion because Cuba was getting really, really chummy with Russia, which we had the Cold War at the time. And they were trying to get some missiles over, you know, close enough to, because we didn't have these intercontinental ballistic. We had some, you know, but they were limited. So they're trying to get some stuff closer to our border to, you know, flex.
Right off the shore.
Right. 60 miles off of the coast of Southern Florida.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're trying to sneak their way in there and Cuba wasn't part of the Warsaw Pact yet. So they weren't quite protected. Like there's still some room, there's some wiggle room for us to get into conflict and it doesn't trigger an international war.
Right.
So we tried with the Bay of Pigs invasion. That was a failure. Some people blame it on the lack of air support, that it wasn't a fully committed endeavor.
Right.
Then there was the, there was other things that happened, but at the end of the day, we basically got to the point where we said, well, we want to do this again. What was the other operation after it was Mongoose? Operation Mongoose, was after the Bay of Pigs. And they said, well, instead of doing an invasion, let's do it subtly. Let's do this, get some people to like do an uprising. We tried the hearts and minds thing. We tried the same stuff we did with Afghanistan. You know, let's start insurgencies. That was a horrible failure. I think Robert Kennedy Sr. was blamed kind of for that. He was in charge of that one. Anyway, that didn't work. So they said, well, we did one thing. We did the other thing. Neither one of them worked. What can we do? Basically the way I put it, I was talking to Harps, today and I was talking to Little John and we were talking about this cause I knew you were going to have me on. So I spitballed it past them to see what they thought about it.
What did they think?
No, they thought it was a good topic. And what we basically came up with was, you know, your dad, my dad, most people's dad said, if you're going to get in a schoolyard fight, don't ever throw the first punch, right?
Right.
So you're the bad guy. So to sum up what I think Operation Northwoods was this is like a way to fake that the other guy threw the first punch. Yeah. So that gives
a false flag.
That I didn't want to use that word, but that's exactly what it is. It's a false flag. You're going to attack yourself and then make it look like they did it. Before, and there was a very huge time constraint on this where we wanted to make sure that Cuba wasn't in the Warsaw Pact because at this point we can still do that and it doesn't cause an international spasm, right?
Yeah.
So, but we Cuba wouldn't do it. They kind of like purged after the what was it, the mongoose thing? They purged out everybody. We had no assets left in there. Right. So we couldn't do that route anymore. We couldn't do a full-on invasion because now we're throwing the first punch. Yeah. We had to make it look like they threw the first punch.
Right.
And so that's what this whole Operation Northwoods is, in not in my opinion, in their documentation. No,
yeah, we didn't make this up. You didn't make this up. I didn't. Let's go back. Now that I let the cat out of the bag about the false, the term false. No, but it goes back hundreds, if not thousands of years in warfare, the concept of a false flag. It really does, like back to the Romans. Like, it's pretty ageless, like the concept of like sabotage, but blaming someone else for it, you know?
Yes.
You actually have documentation about an incident from 1898. Can you just explain?
You want me to bring that up real quick?
Just because if we get that out of the way right now, not out of the way, but if we present that right now, it'll help us when we move along with the Northwoods document, I feel.
Okay. So there's a term that's been coined, remember the Maine, right? Yeah. The Maine was a boat, and it was patrolling in was it Guantanamo Bay area.
Yeah.
I'll bring it up real quick. Hold on. And thanks for letting me have the ability to help produce today.
I appreciate it. I was going to bring it up, but I don't actually have it in front of me right now. Okay, here we go.
Let me zoom it in. So this is
From
history, ushistory.org, right? And I'm just going to get to the nuts and bolts of it. So this is during the Spanish-American War, and there was a boat out there patrolling. And I just highlighted a couple things. So this is 1898, as you can see. This is a long time ago, folks. A long time ago, 1898. We're just barely getting really established as a nation.
We're over a little over 100 years old.
Right. We're kind of getting into the Industrial Revolution and things like that. But on, it says right here, evening of February 15th of, 1898, a sudden and shocking explosion tore a hole in the hull of American battleship Maine, which had been on patrol in Havana Harbor. The immediate assumption was that the sinking, take the word assumption, right?
Yep.
I want everyone to think about that word when we go into this later.
Yeah.
Assumption, right? The assumption was that the sinking of the Maine and the complement deaths of 260 sailors. We lost 260 Americans in this attack, okay?
Wow.
It was a result of Spanish treachery. So they just assumed it was Spanish. That's what got us into that conflict, right? Then they use the word "remember the Maine, to hell with Spain." That was the raising, waving the flags, let's go to war kind of thing, right?
Yep.
And it sent a message to the rest of the world, and that's important because the rest of the world is important, which irritates the hell out of me as a service member.
Yeah.
We don't serve the rest of the world; we serve the United States Constitution.
Yeah,
but some of our leaders, and I will say the word some, don't care about that. They care about saving face and looking good to the UN and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So they wanted to send a message to the rest of the world that the United States was interested in Cuban independence instead of American colonization. So they're basically trying to say that it's one of those things, hearts and minds, we're helping Cuba. We're not going to take over Cuba. We're helping them. And they attacked us first. Oh my God, they punched us in the nose first. So now we have a, because the Spanish were kind of trying to colonize that area.
Right.
And, we didn't want them to do that for whatever reason. I don't know why.
Did that article go into the suspicions, like impossible, maybe it wasn't the Spanish that?
It kind of alludes to, it was a mystery.
Yeah.
It does allude to it was a mystery, and we don't really know. There's not a lot of evidence, but it just goes into the fact that this is one of the things that led to us, getting to that point. But there is something later that just keep it in mind. Keep this article in mind because you may come to your own conclusion that it was an inside job. Just saying. Okay.
We're not saying it's just.
No, I'm saying you can make it's your own
conclusions. On the table. Right? It's a possibility.
And that's why we're doing this, because we don't want people to watch these different shows. I think that's where you're going with it as well, Chris. That's where I want to
show whatever can be documented. Yeah.
When people talk about this stuff, you know, you got to have it in context of like what they're talking about. Don't trust their two sentences that say, oh, this was about this. Go look the crap up. It's too easy. It really is too easy.
And most people don't.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So, going back to Northwoods and the Cuban situation, what struck you, like what stuck out to you when you read the whole document? Like, was there something more than others that just, what was the first thing that?
Well, there's two things that, and they're both, one's good, one's bad.
Okay.
When I kept hearing this term, Operation Northwood, Operation Northwood, operate. And this is maybe 2 years ago or something. I didn't know nothing. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. And I was like, I'm not going to believe what you say. Let me go look it up. And I did a quick Google search. It took me a couple links and I found the actual PDF, the unredacted. Well, it's somewhat redacted, but it's mostly unredacted version.
Right.
And the first thing that shocked me was how these sickos that I would not even, I know they're part of the military, and you know what? They shouldn't be. They should be put in an electric chair for what they did. And they did get fired. That's the good thing. These people did get fired. And this did get shelved. So we, as far as we know, this never happened.
Who fired them?
Kennedy.
Because that's important. Because
yeah, I didn't want to go there, but yes.
No, I want to go there because it shows
he
actually put the kibosh in it, fired them. Put that plan back, like maybe not on the shelf. Maybe he thought it was gone, but still there.
I will tell you this, that they have a plan for everything. They have a plan for if Ethiopia gets nuclear capability, what would we do in response? The military always, and that's in the best interest of our country, the military always has a plan on the shelf for everything. But I would like to believe that our plans are ethical, with keeping with the Army values and morals, right? And American values, American morals.
But as we know, there are some people in every group.
And police, that's why I was saying,
firefighter, everybody, there's a couple of bad apples here and there. It's human beings, you know what I mean? We have to be on the lookout for things like that. It doesn't mean the whole institution is
right. And I definitely want to go on that and say that I am not betraying my country by doing what I do. I believe in the Army. I think it's a great institution. Yeah. I think that there are some bad people in it. And I think that
just like any other thing in life,
I mean, senators, congressmen, a president, the judiciary, there's always some bad apples in there that are compromised somehow. Either they're compromised morally, maybe they're being blackmailed. Look at the whole Ghislaine Maxwell trial. How many people in our government were being blackmailed through that crap?
Whose trial?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Epstein. I forgot. I never heard of her.
Oh, really? Of course you didn't see it.
Yeah. What I'm saying is no one remembers now.
And, you know, we saw, who was it? Who the heck? Kyle Rittenhouse. His trial was all over the freaking news, right? We all watched that, but we couldn't see, I don't know, people that possibly have our leaders compromised with blackmail. We couldn't see that. I want to weed these people out, and I feel like that I'd be doing a disservice to the military if I didn't speak up, to be honest with you. I want to preserve the morality of our institution in the Army. I really do.
Yeah.
And it's not my job to do that, but I still have a First Amendment.
As an American.
Yes, as an American, I have a First Amendment. And I'm very careful not to try to overstep my bounds, but I will talk about what is common knowledge and we can discuss it, right?
Okay, so let's go through the document itself. What stuck out you at the first thing that you were able to highlight?
Oh, well, let's jump into it then. All right, so we got the first thing is the title, Justification for U.S. Military Intervention in Cuba. So it's not like we needed to go to Cuba. They're looking for a reason.
A reason. Yeah.
That's a problem right there. Let me get us on screen. I'm sorry. I'm trying to produce here too. I know you have it too, but thanks for giving me the opportunity to do it as well.
Yeah.
It's a time phase. I just highlighted a few things. It's a basis for a time phase plan. So this was a well thought out over time.
Yeah.
Overt and covert military operations. And we know what those words mean, right?
Oh, well, let's explain that.
Just in case. Well, you talk about what overt and covert means.
Well, an overt is something that is known. It's not hidden from the public. Covert is the exact opposite. They use deceit. They use different tactics. They might have people pretending to be different, different people that just basically
using people from plants in other countries that
different assets. Pretend.
Yeah. And that's necessary because our enemies do the same thing. That's where we get, as a nation, we get sucked into doing some pretty shady stuff because we have to keep up with what they're doing. Okay. I would argue that we don't need to do it that way, but I do understand the need for it. You got to keep up with, you can't let your enemy, because they,
right.
You know, some people want to destroy us.
Then we also have to look inward because there's that domestic, foreign and domestic. We have to make sure that people in power are held responsible.
Right. And that's the problem I have. Being a military man, the problem I have is that these people that are in charge of us basically soiling my institution, which I love to death. I love the Army.
And that's a part of what we're doing is to make that right.
Just want to hold people's feet to the fire so they do the right thing. That's all.
Yep.
And here's just to say that this is like a cover page.
Yeah. Right? Who signed off on this? Because this is the
LL Lemon, sir.
Okay.
Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And keep that in mind.
That JFK fired.
I'm not sure.
No, I know that. Fired. Yeah. Lemon, sir. Yep.
Okay. But the thing is, he signed off on it. But do you realize he's just the chairman? Yeah, all of the Joint Chiefs of Staff agreed to this.
Yeah.
That's where I have a problem.
That's a very scary thing. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, they had one scapegoat at the end of the day, but all of them agreed to this. And when you see what's in here, it's egregious. It's egregious what they agreed to possibly do. Exactly. Okay. And this was in 1962. This is in 1962. I want people to keep that in mind. This is
during the Cuban missile crisis, everything.
Yeah. Oh, it was before the missile. It was leading up to the missile crisis.
Yeah.
And I will say this, that they were right in their assumptions. They were correct that they knew missiles were going to come to Cuba. They knew that. Right. But the two wrongs don't make a right. We can't do the kind of stuff.
Big wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a page that it sucks. It doesn't all look like this. But this is something that I wanted your opinion on, Chris.
Yeah.
I couldn't make heads or tails of it. So this is a note by the secretaries. Yep. So as we said before, the one guy signed off on it, but all the guys agreed to it.
Always by everybody. Yeah.
So it says the joint, and it's really hard to read. I'll read it for you. Joint Chiefs of Staff approved the recommendations. They approved it in paragraph 8. Now, paragraph 8 is the most important. There's a bunch of egregious stuff in here, but paragraph 8 is the one that you're probably going to go to town on, Chris.
Well,
You know exactly what paragraph 8 is, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So here's where I don't know what this means. Express direction or
direct concern. Direct concern. Marine Corps in this matter, the provisions of
Title 10.
Title 10, yeah. U.S. Code 141 applied and were followed.
So U.S. Code, Title 10, U.S. Code 141 is about the Inspector General. So I'm not sure if they were concerned that it's very unclear how it was written.
He would get involved or
they were concerned that they didn't want them involved.
Right.
I kind of 50-50 on that. It's like, you know what? We like this idea, but we want to make sure that it's done correctly. Or we like this idea, but we're going to make sure that the Inspector General doesn't know about it.
I'll look into that. I don't want to give it an answer because I don't know.
Yeah, I looked into it. I couldn't find an answer on it.
Oh,
Okay. Either way, it still was approved. It's like, right. If you even think an inspector general needs to or doesn't need to get involved, maybe you're looking at the wrong kind of plan. Maybe you should come up with a different plan.
Yeah, yeah.
To be moral and correct, just saying. Right. That's just me, man. I'm, you know,
you might not be on the up and up if you need to question whether.
If you got to ask yourself if it's right or wrong, then you just don't need to do it.
That's probably wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, what is this?
Okay, so this is more about, again, trying to get justification. They're talking about they're trying to provide justification. We've talked about that. Yep. And we know why. We already kind of covered it.
Facts bearing on the problem.
Yeah, and they're going over like what the situation is. Okay. Suggested course of action proposed by the U.S. Navy, blah, 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 in Guantanamo area. So this is going over what we already talked about. I didn't expect to cover this before we got into the document.
Oh, we'll cover it all.
Yeah. As long as we can. Here's what I like. I don't like, actually.
Okay.
World Opinion and the United Nations Forum. This is 1962.
Yeah.
And our leadership was more worried about the opinion of the United Nations than they were of the American people. So they want the opinion of the United Nations, but they want to fool the American people.
I know.
That's scary right there, that as far back as then, they were already sucked into this New World Order, one government kind of crap.
Right.
This is what I found shocking in researching this. And the more I dig into this kind of stuff, I'm finding this goes all the way back to almost the founding of our country.
Oh, it has. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the Wall Street coup attempt with General Smedley Butler?
Those names are familiar, but I'm not, Chris. And you know, I haven't been into this realm for that many years.
Yeah. You were just waking up. All this stuff. Yeah.
I got a lot of research to do. So.
We'll get there. The Northwoods thing came on to my radar actually before the events of September 11, 2001. James Bamford, the author, was doing a book on the NSA, and he went all into Northwoods, and that was in April, of 2001, so 6 months or 6 months or so before September 11th. So,
It's all intertied, man. It is all intertied. There is the more I get into it, and I always play the skeptic.
Yeah.
I want to find out that you all are wrong. I do. But the more I dig into it, the more I find out that you're not necessarily right or wrong, but there's something there. And then I dig and dig and dig with Chris Graves.
Well, you know. What I wanted to bring up to you, Jason, you would be very proud, I think, of this general. His name was General Smedley Butler.
He wrote a book. David mentioned him?
I'm not sure.
Or maybe Vince. Maybe Vince Agnelli mentioned him.
Yeah, it could have been even Donald Jeffries. It's possible.
Maybe. Go ahead.
He wrote a book called War is a Racket. About how it's all about corporations making money. It's usually not for the American people's benefit. But here's the thing.
Ukraine.
Yeah. Smedley Butler actually did the right thing, right? Not surprising. He seemed to be a very good man and honorable. Wall Street interests, right, during World War II, had a plan to oust FDR in a coup and install General Smedley Butler as their leader, the new leader of the United States, right? And what had happened was he did the right thing. He exposed it. He didn't take them up on it. He made them think that he was going to, but he actually reported it. And that's not taught in the mainstream history books at all. But that was like Wall Street. That was like DuPont, like Ford, all of the big business people, Rockefeller. And that story got swept under the carpet. That is huge.
We got to do a show on that one day. If you can send me some stuff where I can research it.
Yeah. Oh, that was an episode idea for a while. But here's the thing. That's just to show you. This is 1962. They were willing to install their own fascist leader with one of our generals that, thank God, he did the right thing. And he was able to expose them. They never saw a trial. They nothing. They weren't punished for proposing this and trying to implement it. But it was a thing that happened in our history that is hidden history. Doesn't get talked about. Jesse Ventura actually made me hip to that in one of his earlier books. So this is even back in the 40s. And I believe what you said is probably all the way back to our founding.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, makes you sick when you first hear it. It takes a long time to try to digest it. But
you don't want to believe it.
For things like this so it doesn't happen again.
You don't want to believe it. You want to think most people are good. And I think most people are good.
They are.
And when you're a guy like me that's got so much time of my life invested in fighting for what I've been told is the right thing to fight for, and you find out that there's people in your upper leadership, and again, I will reiterate,
or just as
I believe that my leadership
human
is good.
Being, not even a leadership.
Yeah, it's only takes one or two bad apples, and the reason I'm doing, because little John was talking to me today. He's like, why don't you just stop talking about it and go hide out? And I'm like, well, that's the problem. That's the problem. Why doesn't my leadership that I actually love and adore, my leadership, they're great. They treat me great. But they need to grow a pair and stand up and call out their leadership. So if they won't do it and I won't do it, who's going to do it? So, yeah, I'm the little man on the totem pole.
You're in good company.
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
JFK, Nixon, this document, the Northwoods thing, and they got Smedley Butler reporting on the Wall Street jerks that tried to take over America.
And I did want to point that out though too, that, you know, we get into this and it's not like, I'm not saying that all the government's bad. You know, I work for the government.
We got to stop saying that. We already have the caveat. We are Americans.
Right. There's a few bad people that sold out. And it's not up to us.
We don't have to keep saying that, though, because the people that saw us before, they know that.
Okay, good. I just wanted to make sure. I'm trying to protect my butt, man, because I'm still...
Oh, you're protected. Yeah.
Okay.
Blame me. If anyone is mad about anything, blame me. There's nothing to be mad about. We're just trying to educate. That's all.
All right. Do you want to get back into this?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we already know that we wanted to get involved in Cuba for obvious reasons that were maybe justified, right? But the one thing, and you can see it right here highlighted, we didn't want to directly get involved with the Soviet Union, which is why the time frame was very important that we do this within months, because if they joined the Warsaw Pact, now they're part of the whatever the Soviets kind of UN thing was. Now a direct threat to them is a direct threat to the Soviet Union. Now it's World War, right?
Exactly.
So I kind of understand the desperation of like wanting to come up with some extreme plan. I understand that. So, you know, playing the devil's advocate a little bit, I guess. They mentioned Operation Mongoose here. We went over that. Operation Mongoose was basically, it was a failed attempt to out Castro using I wouldn't say non-violent means, but non-interventionist means, doing like staging, you know, uprisings and protests.
The CIA
and
had a lot
it's very, very CIA oriented. Right here. Here you can see right here. You have the CIA involved. CIA operatives. And they actually, and this is where RFK really bit the bullet. They actually hired a mafia hitman.
They use that. The CIA is known to use the mafia in a lot of different eras. Yeah.
And here we go. So Cuba has not yet become a member of the Warsaw Pact. The time's an important factor. So we're kind of getting the context. That's what I'm trying to build here, Chris, is the context.
Yeah.
And then again, I highlighted with what looks like a Babylon Bee icon, justification for U.S. military intervention in Cuba. Again, that's the objective. Yeah. The objective is how do we take on Cuba without looking like the bad guy? How do we get them to punch us in the face first, like the bully on the schoolyard?
How do we get American support for such an endeavor?
That was what I pointed out. They didn't give a crap about American support. World opinion, United Nations. That's what irritates me. That's what irritates me. But no, they did also want public support as well. But number one up there, you can read it, was they cared more about the UN than they did the American people, who they were supposed to answer to.
Okay, so do we have where they actually proposed the actual attacks?
We can skip over this if you want, and I can go down the list of ideas that
so people know where coming from and some of the things they actually thought up.
Do you think that we've put the context in enough that we can move on to that?
Basically, we were saying that some people in the military thought this may be a necessary thing, especially.
Right.
But the higher ups that wrote out this whole thing just went about it in a very horrible, horrible,
horrible way.
Yeah.
It's unethical. It goes against the military's standards of conduct.
Yeah.
It goes against a lot. That's why what I say is a good note is we can go over this document all day.
Yeah.
I want to say that this is what some people in the military are prepared to do,
right,
because they have no freaking morals. But the good note is that some people shut them down. However, this is still back shelved. I want people to understand that. Evil guy to come.
For every Northwoods that got averted, how many didn't and actually
right
through?
This is know. One thing. So yeah. Let's go ahead. So I think we've set the context pretty well. Yeah. All right. So
you did excellently. I can barely talk today for some reason.
So these are some of the ideas that they had. And some of them seem pretty innocent at first, right? Number one, we're going to start rumors. Many rumors, right?
Yeah.
Use clandestine radio. That's pretty, PSYOP kind of stuff. Land friendly Cubans in uniform over the fence to stage attacks on base. Well, you got a couple guys out there, whatever. Oh yeah, the Cubans are doing this. Let's start the race warfare crap, right?
Right.
Capture Cuban friendly saboteurs inside the base.
Wow.
Start riots near the base's main gate. This is all kind of like small time stuff. This is CIA.
It's like agent provocateur type.
Right.
Stuff.
Absolutely. Blow up ammunition inside the base. Burn aircraft on the base. Sabotage. Lob some mortars over there. I seen a lot of this in freaking Afghanistan, man. Just saying. Capture assault teams approaching from the sea. These are supposedly friendlies that we dress up and pretend. But this isn't good enough. This is because Cuba can always say that these little small attacks. This is just me thinking openly now.
Well, look at that. Look at number nine. Capture a militia group which storms the base. Kind of like a January 6th scenario.
Well, you can go where you want with it. I'm just saying this still leaves a lot of room for plausible deniability from Cuba.
And what is that, just for folks?
Plausible deniability?
Yeah.
That means that it's going on, but you can say, I didn't know anything about it.
Okay.
You're distanced enough from it
that it can't be attached to you.
It's kind of like, hey, Chris, I got this guy I really hate. I hate my neighbor. I just wish he would go away. And then I walk away.
Yeah.
Then you're a hitman that kills my neighbor. And I say, well, I didn't tell him to do it. That's a good instance of plausible deniability. Yeah. Well, I may have mentioned I didn't like my neighbor, but I didn't pay him to go do it.
I didn't go get the gun for him.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Hey man, remember I paid your car payment last month. That was pretty nice of me, right? I really hate my neighbor. I wish he would just go away. I'll see you later.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Right. Yeah, yeah. That's what, really just simple.
For case that doesn't
right.
know.
Yep. Okay. But, and that, I think that's why these little things, which we've done on many occasions, stage in a protest or whatever. Well, they couldn't say that Cuba did it because Cuba, even if they did do it, that's such a distance thing. They say, well, that's some fringe people. We didn't sanction that. So it's too easy for them to walk away from it, even though they know they had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Nobody can prove they did.
Right.
So, you know, they, it gets more extreme though. Let's get into this. Right, it gets way more extreme. Okay. We did number nine, number 10, sabotage ships in the harbor. This is where it starts to get dark. Yeah. Large fires. I don't know what this naphthalene is, but I'm assuming that this is a fire agent. That we can tie to another country, right? We could tie it to another country.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll leave it at that. I've seen that before, though,
in other places.
Oh, now we're getting a little darker. Sink a ship near harbor entrance.
Seen that?
Conduct funerals for mock victims.
Yep. So when people say during, you know, events in our history that, you know, no one died, there is precedent for some of that.
There is, and this is from 1962.
Exactly.
Okay, and maybe in lieu of number 10. Number 10 was sabotage ships in harbor, large fires, and then they could conduct them.
Under
the what?
The B under mock victims.
United States will respond by executing offensive operations to secure water and power supplies. So they're basically going to take over the area.
Okay.
It's a reason to take some ground,
right?
And control some ground, right?
Yeah, I've seen that before in our history.
Okay. And then it talks about
remember
the Maine. Yep. So this is where I said, you know, you can go where you want with this, but remember the Maine. We don't know for sure that was an inside job.
Right.
But apparently these people know something we don't, because they say, remember the Maine, in
this
quotes.
This is the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Yes. This incident could be arranged in several forms. So that leads me to believe that the Remember the Maine may have been arranged, and they're repeating this process.
Or they could just be referring to it. We're not sure.
It could be. It could be. But it just intrigued me. I thought I would highlight that.
Oh, it definitely stands out. Yeah.
So now it gets really dark. We could blow up. We could blow up a U.S. ship in Guantanamo Bay and blame Cuba. Wow. The U.S. blowing up a U.S. ship. We could blow up a drone. Wait a minute. 1962, we had drones?
You know what, Jason? I wanted to mention this to you.
I wanted to talk to you about this, actually.
There were drones. You know that JFK's older brother, Joseph P. Kennedy Jr., he died in a mission in World War II that involved a drone plane.
Now, people might think we're getting speculative here, but they haven't even seen how bad this is.
No, we're not speculating. I haven't speculated. It's all stuff we're going through, documented.
So in this instance, they're talking about a drone being probably a naval vessel. You know, it's got like a radio signal that can steer the rudder. And apparently
remote controlled.
Right. It's not a drone like we think today, where it's a smartphone and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
No. But the term drone, I didn't hear it until the Predator drone came out, you know? Afghanistan era.
Yeah, drones, even as a term and everything, even literally airplanes, real full airplanes flown by remote control is not science fiction.
Oh, that's gonna come in play, man. That's gonna come in play.
World War II. I'm telling you, as far back as that.
Okay, so let's keep going. So they're already talking about blowing up a ship. At this point, it's pretty innocent, because they're not talking about really killing anybody. They're talking about some fake funerals and things like that.
If we can fake it first, great. If not, then.
Let's see, a Cuban attack from the air, sea, or both. They're just still trying to sell this thing.
Okay.
Merely investigate. Okay, the presence of a Cuban planes or ships merely investigating this into. So let's just say we blew up a boat. We blew up our own boat.
Okay.
The presence of Cuban planes or ships merely investigating the intent of the vessel could be fairly compelling evidence that the ship was taken under attack. So they're already thinking of a way to sell this to the public. You know, they're going to say, we're going to blow it up. We're in their water or close to it.
Showing the blame. Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden you show the media showing these boats and airplanes. They're like,
and all they're doing is just investigating.
Yeah. Yep. That's it. Blah, blah, blah. Especially those people that might have heard the blast or seen the fire. Okay. Follow-up with Air C rescue operation covered by U.S. firefighters to evacuate remaining members of the non-existent crew. So now they're getting not only reports from not only showing that there are supposed enemy vessels in the area, but they're going to send some evacuation people out there to witness it that don't even know. And they're just going out there.
We've seen that before in other events. Yep. I've investigated. And look at this. Look at this. Casualty lists in U.S. newspapers would cause a helpful wave of national indignation.
I know. I couldn't highlight it at all, man, because if you
highlight, this, yeah. This is key, because whenever you have people being, you know, being demeaned or labeled a theorist, when they question certain things, like certain victims on a casualty list, well, we have something like this where they're actually proposing to have fake casualty lists. So just saying.
What we just read, we're kind of speculating what their intent is, but not speculating.
Fake casualty list, that's not speculating. Well, they're literally telling you.
You're going to see later in this document, that's not speculation at all, because they spell it out clearly. That's the intent here in a little
bit. Okay,
how long have we been running, brother? How long have we been running?
Oh, we're at 46 minutes.
Okay, we're not too long. Let me keep going, man.
Yeah, please. So, oh, that's a big one right there, too. Yep.
You read it, man. You go for it.
We could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area, in other Florida cities, and even in Washington. Just saying.
Wow.
Not pointing to anything, but
I think the key word there at the beginning is we. Who's we?
Exactly.
It's not Cubans.
No. It's not Americans either. Not military.
Before you read this, this is the one thing in this entire document that got me infuriated. Because up until this point, it's all theoretical. Nobody's getting hurt. It's fun and games. It's a propaganda thing. It's a news media thing. It's a mockingbird. Let's get the people to believe something. Read this one, Chris.
Okay. The terror campaign could be pointed at Cuban refugees seeking haven in the United States. But here it is. We could sink a boatload of Cubans en route to Florida, real or simulated.
Boom.
Or simulated. We could foster attempts on lives of Cuban refugees in the United States, even to the extent of wounding in instances to be widely publicized.
So I didn't like the word. I understand warfare. I understand what we have to do sometimes, but there's a line that's drawn. And they use the word real or simulated. You're talking about Cuban refugees. I don't care if they're illegal aliens. I'll call them that. I don't care. They're illegal aliens. That's what they are. But they're people.
They're human beings.
Yeah, absolutely. And they don't seem to care at this point, real or simulated. What is the word simulated? Simulate all you want. Don't do it for real. That goes against what we are. That is a war crime.
Yeah.
That's a war crime perpetrated by the United States government. Now, again, I'll reiterate, this was a theory. It's not something that was signed off on, but the people who came up with it should have been executed.
Who didn't sign up?
JFK did not sign up on it.
That was
it. But these people should have not been fired. They should have been hung for high treason.
For even proposing such a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah.
And so that's what irritates me, and that's why I do what I do. It's like treason.
It's treason.
We have to get the military has to get the respect back from the people. But we have to earn it, you know. Okay, so now, here's one, a Cuban based Castro supported filibuster, blah blah blah. Here's another thing, a couple things. As a matter of fact, I might just skip straight to 8, man. I think let's go straight to 8 and 9.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, this is kind of important. I highlighted this because they're talking
Give us the rough overview. We don't have to read
it all. They're talking about use of aircraft now.
Okay.
They're talking about using a Cuban B-26 or a C-46. So they're looking at different aircraft type. for cane burning raids at night.
The use of MIG type aircraft by U.S. pilots could provide additional provocation.
Yeah, well, look at this. This I want to point out.
Wow.
So they're talking up here at the very top.
Yeah.
They're talking about making some fake cane burning raids, probably to cause dissent within their country, you know, because that's how they, I guess, make money. I don't know. This or farms or whatever. But Soviet block incendiaries could be found. So this is, here we go. We're going to use somebody else's explosives to blame it on them. False flag, right?
Yep.
Shipment of arms. They're going to like have some fake, you know, weapons caches found on the beach. You know, how convenient to make it look like, you know, the Cubans are doing some crap on our beaches. The use of MiG type aircraft by U.S. pilots could provide additional provocation. This is from the military.
Look at that.
U.S. military drone aircraft by MiG type planes would be useful as a complementary actions. F-86 properly painted
would convince air passengers that they saw a Cuban MIG. That reminds me of another event.
Yes, yeah. I know you wanted to get, and I was hoping you
were not going to say
jump it, off no. on it. Okay, what else was important here?
Right here. Reasonable copies of the MIG could be produced from U.S. resources in about 3 months.
Yep, and they already talk in this document. They talk about it, about how they can do some pretty good mock-ups of like what we already have existing with a little bit of a paint job.
Certain airlines. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Number 8.
Yes.
All right. Now this is where I would love to take a break for 10 minutes because this is where it gets really interesting.
All right.
We're
doing the live stream. How do we,
I know. Stream? No, we're not taking a break.
Is there a way to pause it? I don't know.
Nope. We're going to go into it. Do you want to read it? Do you want to attack this one? Because I might get a little heated.
I don't want you getting
This infuriates me, man. As a military man, I can't believe that anybody in our organization. And
would you be able to put it back up on the thing? And I'll do my best.
Yes, I will. Right, I wanted to pause and reset before we get
it.
Because if you remember.
We'll breathe.
If you remember at the top, number 8 was the one that they highlighted. This was the one that they said. So we went through all the little stuff, the little provocateur stuff,
shootings proposed,
a couple mortars over the wall, some people that are pretending to be a fake enemy, but they're actually our friends. Right. Now this is where it gets for real. Here you go.
It is possible to create an incident which will demonstrate convincingly that a Cuban aircraft has attacked and shot down a chartered civil airliner en route from the United States to Jamaica, Guatemala, Panama, or Venezuela. The destination would be chosen only to cause the flight plan route to cross Cuba. The passengers could be a group of college students off on a holiday or any grouping of persons with a common interest to support chartering a non-scheduled flight.
Okay, let's peel that onion back a bit.
Yeah.
So they're talking about shooting down our own aircraft over Cuba, and it has to be a non-commercial flight because commercial flights are tracked, and you can't control necessarily who's getting on or off of those, right? So it has to be a chartered, and they have to find a reason for the charter. So they really thought about this pretty hard. So maybe it's a group of college kids that are going to, and we have to pick the right destination because it has to
go over Cuba and airspace,
and it's going to be a civilian chartered aircraft that isn't on a normal flight plan where it's not tracked normally. So it's kind of one of those, these guys are taking off, whatever.
Right.
So it's not
unscheduled.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about, hey, how can we slip a plane in over Cuba? And what's the excuse of how we can do this?
Yeah.
Pretty freaking sinister. Let's continue.
Oh, it keeps going. Yeah.
Let's continue. You want me to go? You want me to read it?
Yeah, if you don't
mind. All right. the passengers could be a group of college students off on a holiday or a grouping of persons with common interests to support chartering a non-scheduled flight. Again, they're trying to look for a way to explain why this flight needs to happen in the first place and why it needs to fly over Cuba in the first place.
Yep.
They're looking to put a target in the air, basically.
Now, this part.
Oh, yeah. An aircraft.
Yeah.
An aircraft at Eglin Air Force Base would be painted and numbered as an exact duplicate for a civil registered aircraft. So they're going to basically make a copy of the plane and have it sitting on standby. Let's jump down here.
No, but look, belonging to a CIA.
Oh, yeah. They own it. They own it. Of course.
Yep. Front organization in the Miami area.
Yep. So I didn't highlight everything because
that's big too. The next
it
line.
Is yeah. Yep. The duplicate would be substituted for the actual aircraft, and would be loaded with the selected passengers. So basically, the duplicate is going to get the passengers.
Yeah.
The other actual, which I'm sure the person who owns that aircraft that chartered it is going to enjoy the insurance money when it gets shot down. So I'm sure they're on board with it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they're basically going to load up these fake passengers posing as students or whatever have you on a fake airplane that's painted like a real airplane. They all board under carefully prepared aliases. The actual registered aircraft, that's the real one, would be converted to a drone. So they're not actually going to kill these people. You're going to fly the actual aircraft empty. So when this stuff goes off, so this plane's flying out towards Cuba, they're going to rendezvous. So you got the plane that's operating as a drone, the actual plane.
Yep.
And then you got the mock plane, which is a CIA owned plane, which they said in their own words, they will paint to look like the other one.
Yeah.
Has the fake passengers on it. They're going to rendezvous south of Florida. The passenger carrying aircraft will descend to minimum altitude. Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of got that backwards, don't I? So the passenger plane is going, and the actual passenger plane was the fake plane.
Yeah.
And then the actual plane was the drone. So it's the one that's hidden. Right. But anyway, the passenger carrying aircraft will descend to a minimum altitude so as to avoid radar. Go directly into an auxiliary field at Eglin Air Force Base. So you're going to take these people, you're going to descend down to evade radar, go to whatever. You see this mentioned a lot, this auxiliary field. I don't know where this is. Apparently we have secret bases, whatever.
The black sites.
Yeah, so basically what they do is they do the swap. You know, they swap the thing. So you got the one full of people that everybody saw them get on. It's actually not the real plane. It's a fake plane that looks like the real plane. The real plane is sitting on standby. They drop down. They turn off the transponder. They go below radar. And then the real plane goes up. It's empty. A drone flight, right?
And Jason, both are the same flight number, but they take off at two different gates at the same airport, right?
That's something else. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. About. All right.
Okay. So the drone aircraft, which is the actual, somebody owns it, it's a chartered aircraft, will continue to fly the filed flight plan.
Yeah.
The drone will begin transmitting on the international distress frequency at Mayday. Under attack by Cuban MiG aircraft. Destruction, and this is where it gets crazy, because I want you to think about another incident that's happened in the last 20 years. Destruction of the aircraft, which will be triggered by a radio signal. So they're just going to blow it up.
Right.
They're going to say, hey, there's a MiG chasing us. Blow up this empty aircraft.
Yeah. Is this Pennsylvania by any chance? Or?
It might be Washington, D.C.
Okay.
Tell us what has happened to the aircraft. So this is interesting right here.
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit. This will allow whatever the ICAO radio, I don't know, I guess that's international something.
Yeah.
This will allow the people in the Western Hemisphere to tell the U.S. what has happened to the aircraft instead of the U.S. trying to sell the incident.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've thought of it all back in 62. They said, we realize this is so far-fetched, and even though nobody knew what a drone was,
right,
that it might not pass the smell test, right?
Right.
So now they want other people to say, hey, America, do you realize one of your planes full of college kids got shot down? Oh, really? Oh, my God. We got to go to war with Cuba.
Sell the incident.
Yeah, I'll put it back up on screen.
That's what
sell,
it is.
Sell the incident.
The incident.
Mm-hmm.
When you repeat it enough, people will believe it.
Okay, so that was let's digest that for a minute, because the rest of this I have was a secondary plan, which wasn't outlined. It wasn't pointed out as what they wanted to do, because, you know, at the very top of this document, they did highlight paragraph 8, right, which is this whole swapping commercial airliners.
That was the main one.
And I think the reason they chose that instead of the one I'm going to talk about next is because the one I'm going to talk about next is a military craft going down, which is almost an acceptable loss in a training scenario, or, you know, that stuff happens. You know,
let me show this real quick. Let me get this out of the way. This was also part of the plans at one point. And I want to get your take for a second. It is right.
Oh, infinite screen. I love it.
Do you see this, Jason? Did it work?
Yeah.
Okay. This was a plan to take out the astronaut, John Glenn, and blame it on Cuba as well. This proposal was called Operation Dirty Trick. So that was also on the books around the same time. And that's all. That's all
I got. I wish you would have sent that to me, because I haven't seen that. That's something I would could tie into this really easily. All I know is that we really, really, really wanted to get into it with Cuba.
Yeah.
We had tried with the Bay of Pigs. We tried with Operation Mongoose. We tried to get, what's his name, out of there? Castro.
Yeah.
And for good reasons. I'm not going to say that the military didn't have good reasons for that.
Right.
My thing is that do it ethically and morally, because that's what we're supposed to be. That's my problem with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't have any problem pointing out the truth. I really don't.
Oh, me neither.
Yeah.
So this proposal, Operation Dirty Trick. Which, John
hey,
Kennedy.
Chris,
also
Chris, man, you got an echo. When you share your screen, for some reason, when you share audio, if you don't mute your own mic, you get an echo on it. So I don't know if you can drop it, bring it back up without sharing audio, and see if that echo goes away. Or you can, it wasn't too bad. You can keep going.
Okay. Here we go. All right. Stop. Okay. Here we go. Okay. Moving on. That was just another thing.
No, that's,
that most
that
people
was good
don't
stuff.
Know about. Most people don't know that aspect of it.
Okay, so before we go on, man, and I hate to interview you, this is just the nature of me being a Knights of the Storm guy. I want to know your thoughts on it. What do you think about, in 1962, we had drone technology, and we had certain people in the government, basically the entire Joint Chiefs of Staff, signed off on this proposal to do something so heinous as to fake... you know, to be able to swap
terrorist
planes.
Attacks.
Boom, boom. There you go. Fake terrorist attacks.
Yep.
You know, we didn't have a label on it back then. We do now, right? We call it terrorism. What do you think about that, man?
I hate to say it, but with all my research and everything into human beings, I'm not surprised. It's disheartening, especially when you first find out about it. You gotta try to just see that there are good people still out there. You know?
It's a bit hard to swallow, ain't it? When you first learn about it.
But I feel like I've had a good quarter of a century to kind of get used to it. You, on the other hand, that's more intriguing, because you only had about 2 years, right?
About five years of like questioning, but like 2 years of really digging.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. Now, I wasn't digging with Chris Graves, but I was digging.
Right. So What is your take?
My take is I'm freaking disgusted. Yeah. I've always been proud, as much as and anybody that's been in the military or probably did any kind of government service will tell you that it's got its good days and bad days. You don't necessarily have to agree with everything.
This doesn't even sound like it's they were going to utilize military folks. It sounds like mercenary spy type people.
That's one thing I failed to point out, and I meant to point out. Let me see if I can find it. One thing I did, a little redeeming factor for the military, because I don't want to be a non-salesman. I think they need to get rid of the vax mandate for sure.
Yeah.
To get people in, but it's an honorable profession. It really is, in my opinion. But I can't for the life of me find it in here. I tried to find it earlier for HARPS.
But what was the overview?
The overview was that they had stressed that certain people could not know about it. And they were saying that, and there was a laundry list, a little checklist, basically all
possible deniability kind of thing.
I think that what I would like to believe is that they didn't want high up leaders, and I'm talking at the division level kind of leaders.
Ones that would be on the up and up and put a stop.
Right. And they would put a stop to it and call them out on it. So yeah. I think that back in the 60s that, these people would be like, what are you talking about? Because back in those days, people in the military didn't get paid crap. I mean, we still don't get paid a whole lot, but it's still, we can get by, and they have decent, packages as far as benefits and stuff. It's not a bad life to go into at all. And you get your education and stuff if you're smart enough to use it. But I think that back then people had more of a spine.
Yeah.
And I think that the military in general was what we hold our values to be in the United States as people.
Right.
I wouldn't even say as a Christian nation, even though we were born of a Christian nation. I'm just saying as good people, they had better values. I'm a little disappointed now, especially with the vaccine thing, that we didn't have that happen.
Yeah.
But there was a reason why it was pointed out. And anybody who wants to go download this document, it's pretty easy to find. You'll find it in here. Where they made certain to say that we cannot let anybody know about this. And that's where my hope lies, I guess you can say. My hope lies that these were a bunch of bad apples. Kennedy got rid of one. The entire Joint Chiefs signed off on it. What happened to them? I don't know. They should have been hung for high treason.
Not much. Yeah, they should have. Yeah.
Yep. And we can figure out a way to deal with Cuba without, notionally or actually killing Cubans on a boat. Come on, man. That's not who we are as a nation.
Or Americans.
Yeah. Or, yeah, well, that is one thing. In this document, nowhere does it say they're actually going to kill Americans. They tried to say it was going to be a swap off or whatever.
Well.
But still, Cuban, what does it matter if they're Americans or Cubans? They're people.
They're human beings. To me, yeah.
It does. Right.
Yeah.
Human
life's human life, fellow brother. Me,
Yeah, I just I still love my country. I love my I love the army. There's good, really good people,
but there are evil people, and they can get positions of power and all throughout history, all over the world. Yeah.
But incrementally, slowly and incrementally, they've made it to be like just follow the orders. I don't know about the rest of the army, but I swore an oath to the Constitution.
To protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic.
And all you really got to do is just call it out. Like with this vaccine mandate, I just called it out as it's not constitutional.
Let's take just a moment because I know this is a very important thing. What is the mandate in the military for those that don't know?
Well, they say you got to take the shot for readiness. However, the shot itself, they're ignoring any religious exemption pretty much. I mean, mine's in a standby, but and some have been accepted, by the way. There are some that have been, but for the most part, they're just refusing them. The army is not as bad as like the Navy. The Navy just nobody
really.
But the point is that on the legality side of it, you can't, and technically they can. They can make us take an experimental drug, even though that's against the Hague Convention and the Geneva Conventions, right?
Just give an order, right?
Right. But in our regulations, they really, really can, honestly. It's, to be honest, they can. But the thing is that they're telling us to take what's called an approved drug, which is the Comirnaty, but they're not, the Comirnaty is not available. They're giving us the experimental one, which is still under EUA.
Right.
And technically, the EUA should be ended, shouldn't it? Yeah. If you have an approved drug, the EUA ends for experimental stuff. So why do we still have an EUA? But they're lying to people, and they're telling them this is an approved drug, which it's not. And they're winning this in court because it's a fact. And there's a reason. There's a reason that it's not available here. You think it would be that difficult for us to, like, bring some shots here and say, oh, take it now?
Right.
There's a reason they're doing it, because when the crap hits the fan and people go to sue, they're going to say, oh, no, you didn't take the Comirnaty. You took this other one, and we're covered under the EUA, you know, the legal protections.
Right.
So they're trying to have their cake and eat it, too.
Yeah.
And I don't trust that. I don't trust that. I'm actually not taking the shot, not because of that. I'm not taking the shot because they kill babies at birth with no, I mean, killing the baby's bad enough, but they don't even give them a freaking anesthetic to sell their organs to make humanized mice. I'm not going to incentivize humanized mice for anything,
right,
for cosmetics, for, you know, anything. If I buy a product or take a product that causes you to want to go kill more babies, I'm not going to take that product.
Right.
And if it means my career, it means my career. People think I'm bullshit. Oh, sorry for the length. People think I'm playing about this. The people I work with think I'm playing. I'm just trying to avoid the shot because they don't like needles or whatever. No, this is a hill to die on, man. It really is. And yeah, I don't care what it costs me. My wife has my back on this, which is really tough because it could mean everything we have.
Right.
But what's right is what's right, man. The
you
same reason
be forced to take anything that might hurt you.
Well, not just that. I shouldn't be forced to take something that is going to kill little babies for more research.
Well, that too.
Yep.
Right. Right. Anyway.
Oh, man. Sorry, an hour 10 in, man. Do you want to go over this last
scenario? It's a live thing, so as long as it wasn't a pre-record, we're okay, right?
Yeah. 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 The pre-record,
okay.
You can't go over an hour, but let me go over this last one.
Angry Tiger would join us too, but yeah.
Yeah.
Next time.
Maybe.
Let's go for it, Mr. Bark.
I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to be your next guest, so I'm kind of honored he had me on again.
This is the part two to our first episode, so there you go.
Nice. So this is one that they didn't focus on, but I thought it was an interesting scenario. We'll just go over it, talk about it a bit. Let me bring it up. So this is, okay, let me see if I can find it. Number eight. We went over number eight, right?
Yep.
Let's go. The drone aircraft, blah, 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 transmitting.
Sell it. Yep. Sell the incident.
Yep. Okay. Oh, number nine. This one wasn't mentioned, but I thought it was an interesting scenario, actually. This is more believable for me.
Okay.
But it probably wouldn't be sellable. Like I said, stuff happens in the military with training exercises and skirmishes that the people wouldn't be waving their flags as much as if it's a bunch of college kids.
Right.
You know? So that's probably why they didn't like this one. But they say approximately four or five F-100 or F-101 aircraft will be dispatched in trail from Homestead Air Force Base, Florida, in the vicinity of Cuba. Their mission will be to reverse course and simulate, I don't know, I think that's a misspell, Faker, aircraft for an air defense exercise in Southern Florida. So they're talking about running an exercise near Cuba, right? And this is going to be a repeated basis. They would be required to carry live ammunition in the event that hostile actions were taken by the Cuban MiGs. So they're already stirring the honeypot right here.
Right.
Yeah, we're going to run some exercises right up on these guys we're going to go to war with. And take some live ammo with you, by the way. You know? So let me, I think I should have highlighted. On one such flight, a pre-briefed pilot would fly tail end Charlie, I guess that means at the rear, at considerable interval between aircraft. While near Cuban Island, this pilot would broadcast that he had been jumped by MiGs and was going down. No other calls would be made. At extremely low altitude, the pilot then would fly directly west at extremely low altitude, again to avoid radar, right?
Yep.
And land at a secure base at Eglin Auxiliary. The aircraft would be met by proper people, by the proper people, quickly stored and given a new tail number. So what they're saying here is they're going to run these series of exercises. They're going to get people used to it.
Yep.
They're going to have live ammo on them.
Yeah.
And then they're going to have a pre-briefed guy just kind of fall out of the formation and say, hey, I'm being shot at, and then he's gone.
Wow.
This is why I wanted to share this story.
This reminds shades of TWA 800 at sea. I just read that for a second, because those are supposedly war games going on.
To be there yet.
I left the cat out of the bag. Okay.
You did.
Because I'm writing an article on.
This smells of like no security cameras in the most secure area of the world.
Well, there's that incident too. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let's continue. I did think this was an interesting scenario that they didn't roll with. At precisely the same time that the aircraft was presumably shot down, a submarine or small surface craft would disperse F-101 parts, parachute, etc.
Yes.
The pilots returning to Homestead would have a true story as far as they knew.
Yeah.
Search ships and aircraft could be dispatched and parts of aircraft found. Thus,
not saying anything. I have some thoughts.
This is not a made up thing. This is a declassified document from 1962. Just saying.
Just saying.
Not but saying. Anyway, Chris, this was Operation Northwoods. What do you think?
I think you did a fantastic job, my friend. I can barely talk today. I have some problem with my mouth, my teeth right now. But I'm honored that. And it's weird because I sound very weird right now. I got like feedback or something. Anyway.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
No, it's me. It's my.
No, it throws you off when you get the feedback. It throws.
Yeah,
throws
and it makes me sound like I'm like high on heroin earlier. Or
in the tunnel.
I was talking like this really slow. I don't know why. It's always an honor. And we have many, many more shows to do, my friend.
Yes, I would love to do a series on these. If you
I want to do one with the Smedley Butler story, because he needs more attention, because he was a really great American.
I really think, Chris, I think it's a great service. I'm glad you had me on. I got to talk about it because this is one that I happen to know about. I'm sure there's
I'm glad I had your perspective too.
Yeah, I'm sure there's others I don't know about that other people are good at, but this is a good service to the listeners of all kinds of podcasts. They're trying to get information. They hear you these had, names
you had
dropped.
Some back, you had some background too, you know?
Yeah. That was great. Yeah. I mean, when it just helps with other people putting out information that when they drop something like, well, you know, in Operation Northwood, now immediately the person that's watched this knows the history behind it and the context. So
is there anybody on your Twitter? Did anybody, I forgot.
No,
to check
I don't there. See. I don't see anybody on there.
Must be me.
No, I don't see anybody, but I don't know. Maybe my stuff's not updating.
I think in the replay, we have a lot of luck with replays. So
that
should be cool. But can you tell the folks where they can find you and where they can see you?
And we're Knights of the Storm. We're at Knights OTS on Twitter. OTS meaning
Knights. Do you have a website?
Yes. Actually, we get the shorter URL. So it's actually KnightsOTS.com.
Awesome.
And that'll get you there. And what you're going to find there, actually, let me pull it up real quick, Chris.
Yeah, please do.
Pull it up, because there's actually a cool service that we're trying to put together here.
I love it.
OTS.com. It's going to bring you here. It's actually theKnightsOfTheStorm.com, but it was a long URL, so we got the second one. But one thing we want to point out is we don't have this read thing up yet, but we're going to have everybody's Substack out here.
Oh.
Yeah. But our friends, we're putting together a list of people you can watch and the platforms that you can find them on. We're going to be adding you very shortly. As soon as you figure out, well, we could probably add you now.
Well, I got to get mad. Yeah.
But the schedule, that's where we got to wait till you figure out what day you're going to do this on. But the schedule, we're going to have a Monday through Sunday, what time people are on by the day. If you happen to be off on Tuesday, you got a day off, or you're home sick, you got a toothache or whatever, and you say, hey, I want to you ain't got to question it. You ain't going to get a late notification because Twitter likes to do that. They'd like to notify you 30 minutes into a 1 hour show.
Oh, yeah.
You can come here real quick.
Shadow banned.
Yep. Right. And that's excellent. Pretty much it, man.
When is your show?
We do Saturdays at 10 Eastern on Twitter. We do also broadcast to, what is it, D Live Odyssey. And Odyssey. Rumble. Sometimes we do YouTube, but we were careful about that because we've already been kicked off there once. So basically, it's almost an after the fact thing to make sure we don't say the V word. You know, they don't like facts at YouTube. They don't like facts.
Right. I gotcha. Unless you're on their side. But right. Anyway, Mr. Right. Jason Barker, it's been a privilege and honor. I can't wait to do it again. And you have a good rest of your night, sir.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks for having me on. Love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too. And we will have the outro that I should have already had queued up. I'm still learning this, folks.
No, you're doing a great job, Chris. You're doing a great job.
And here we go.
How dare you!